We are starting a series today called Seeds. And for the next 2 weeks, we're gonna be doing some introductory messages before our small groups kick off. And why are we doing this series on seeds? It's not because I need you to be an expert in horticulture. It's not because we're gonna dive into all the science behind seeds and growth and things like that. But really what we're wanting to do is we're wanting to look at the biblical principle of seeds and all the different ways in which it applies to your life. But even more than that, we want to rally you to be together. Being together for 1 hour on a Sunday morning is not enough. If I'm just honest with you, like I have an underlying motive here other than to teach you about seeds. It's about bringing us together in relationship so that we grow and learn together. In Luke chapter 4, verse 43, Jesus said this, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." Jesus came here to preach a new kingdom, or even as I said in my prayer, there's a new Lord in town, like there's a new sheriff in town. There's a new Lord, there's a new way coming into the earth, and Jesus came to introduce it. And he came to break us into that through his sacrifice. And he began to teach us what the kingdom of God was like. And sometimes we think about the kingdom of God and we think about church as like, it's just my way to get to heaven. That's the extent of it. I'm just gonna go to church and hope when I die, I go to heaven. Jesus didn't come to say, hey, when you die, you better know where you're going. He actually did so much more than that. That's a result of the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God is a new governance is here. A new way of life has come. A new creation through him is coming. So there's a lot more to this kingdom than simply, how do I get to heaven? It's actually, how do I live? How do I be? How do I transform? How do I bring myself back into alignment with the way God intended me to be when he made man and he made this creation? So the kingdom is sometimes much bigger than we allow ourselves to think. And so I would like to just challenge you to think outside of the paradigm of just church is just a Sunday gathering. The church is the people of God who are called to usher that kingdom into the earth. Under every nation on earth, there are people living under another nation called the kingdom of God, God's people. And so what we want to do is, you know, when Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, go and make disciples of all nations. Now, I know I joke about this a lot, and you're probably sick of it, but I'm gonna say it again. He did not say, go and have nice meetings on Sunday mornings that people like. That isn't what he told us to do. It's part of what we do. But his real mission that he gave to us is to make disciples of people. That means we have to interact with other humans. Sorry, introverts. I'm with you. We gotta interact with other people because we're gonna be part of their learning and growing process. We are not called to do this journey alone. So if I could just reveal some of the heart behind the idea of coming and doing something together, having all these seeds messages, and then having lots of seeds groups. I wish everybody would join a seeds group. And it's not really because of the content of the group as much as it's about being together, making disciples, building relationship, because you never know when you're gonna run into a hard moment in life and you're gonna need people around you. Some of you have lots of friends around you. You've got a good circle, but not everybody does. And as a church, we wanna provide opportunity to expand this community of believers. We wanna include everybody. And so we're collectively doing this series on seeds and doing these seeds groups. I wanna explain a couple things to you. There's some books out in the lobby that you can get called Seeds. It's a workbook that we're gonna be going through in a small group. So it's got two introductory chapters which will correlate with the message this week, and Jason Harris will be sharing a message next week. These are $10, you can pick one of those up out in the lobby after church. We're gonna be going through them as a small group. So if you've got a group of friends that maybe isn't in a small group, or maybe a group of people that you don't really know but you wanna get to know them better, maybe you should host a group. Have some people over to your house, get to know them. I know it's scary. Scary, isn't it? New people in your house. God's called us to community, and that takes effort. It takes intentionality. It takes effort and vulnerability. It's hard, but God's called us to that. And then out of that community, what starts to happen? People begin to strengthen one another. People begin to encourage one another. Discipleship starts to take place. Learning about Jesus, learning about his ways, I guarantee you don't know everything yet. We're all learning, and we will always be learning. And so I would just encourage you to seriously consider joining one of these groups. But that's why we're doing it. Why? So we can continue to bring people into community, so that we can continue to be together and grow together. Because I think someday when I stand before Jesus, do you sometimes imagine yourself standing before Jesus someday? I'd encourage you to do it. It's a good exercise. You ever do it? The day you go, some of you are like, yeah, I actually worry about it a little bit. Yeah. Is my whole life going to be shown on video for everybody to watch? I don't know if that's going to be good. I heard that as a kid. I was terrified. I imagine myself before Jesus, and I think about what's going to matter to him in that moment. When Jesus looks at my life, what does he think about? How does he evaluate? I mean, is it healthy and important to attend a church service? Yes. But the simple act of attendance really isn't the point. The point is to be a part. The point is to become activated in who you are. I need you in my life. We need each other in each other's lives. And I feel like when I stand before Jesus someday, it's going to be about how I grew as an individual in my own discipleship with him, how I learned about who he was, and how I continued to bring myself into alignment with who he is, and how I continued to seek him out. It'll be about who I influenced, who I helped. How did I make disciples in my lifetime? Is discipleship just a class you go to? Oh no, every day of your life is discipleship, whether you realize it or not. And I want to be a full participant in that. Jesus cares about our growth and our development. And I want to tell you, God cares about seeds. And so I'm going to start laying some groundwork this morning about this concept of seeds. I want to start in Genesis chapter 1. Did you know that the best place to start a story is in the beginning? JR, we're so tired of your jokes. Genesis chapter 1, 11 through 13. And God said, how many of you know when God says something, it happens? You know, God, it's just stop and think about that. When God speaks, things happen. God's word is powerful. Creation happened because God spoke. It didn't happen because he went and got some clay and mud and shaped it. He spoke it and it happened. When we read God's word, it's powerful. And we recognize that in this moment. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth. And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. I just imagine if God thought it was good, it must be good. He knows good. Seeds are important to God. He set this system up in the beginning, and this is so important to understand. I think God didn't, you know, fast forward maybe a couple thousand years, God didn't go, hey, maybe I should use the seed analogy to teach people things. Maybe, oh, that was smart of me. God knew when he set up the system. He knew when he set up this idea of seeds and growth and fruit and more seeds, he knew what he was doing. And he was demonstrating to you and I, when we look out in creation, we see God. The scripture says that humans will be without excuse because God is all over creation. So even when we don't know the scripture, people don't know, there's something in us that goes all the way back and remembers. And when we look at the seed and we look at the growth, we're reminded of God and his power and his system. And God has set this amazing thing in motion, and it just keeps going. Jesus repeatedly used this seed, tree, fruit, plant kind of speech to teach people. He used it as an analogy of the human life. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you, mankind, every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for your food. This is what we're supposed to partake of, this process. We're stewards of this process. How many of you love gardening? How many of you used to love gardening? Some of you never did. You won't get it, but it's okay. We are stewards of the growth process. From the very beginning, when we sow the seed, to the cultivation of the soil, the watering, the weeding, the harvesting, even the preserving, all the things that we do as part of the growth process is something that God gave us. And it's not hard then to transition our minds to just regular human affairs. We're stewards of the earth. God gave us dominion, authority. We're called to take these things and use them well, both in the natural sense and in some of these metaphors. Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. This process is going to keep going until Jesus returns. This is a system that we're in. Trees, by some ways of accounting, are the third most mentioned living thing in the Bible besides God and people. God cares about trees. He cares about seeds. He cares about the harvest. Why? Because he cares about what you're sowing. And he cares about what's growing in your heart. He cares about what's growing in your mind and your life. He cares about the fruit in our lives and what it produces, but it all starts with a seed. And we can apply this in so many ways. God calls his word a seed. Or a seed giver, maybe more accurately, Isaiah 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word, you guys hear me pray this all the time, so shall my word that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. God sends his word out like a seed. Even as I read that, that word is going out like a seed. It's going into your mind. It's going into your heart. God has purpose with that. He has intentions with what he's sowing into your heart through his word. It's why it's so important that we have a steady diet of what God says, because it has power. It has life. It has so much potential. He sows it out in there. He says, it doesn't come back to me void. It's like the rain that falls and causes things to grow. Psalm 119:11. When I was in Sunday school as a kid, this is one of the Bible verses I had to memorize. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. If I'm storing that seed of the word inside of me, it helps me understand who God is, and it helps me stay in alignment with his ways so that I might live out the life he has for me and be blessed as I go. Because I've stored up that seed inside of me. God cares about seeds. And he cares about you and what you're doing in his garden. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verses 23 to 24, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. What's Jesus comparing himself to? A seed. Jesus was a seed in several ways. You know, when the fruit, maybe you have fruit falling off your tree in your yard. Maybe you have one of those apple trees and they fall all over your yard and make a big mess. What's in those seeds? What's a tree trying to do? It's trying to reproduce. When Jesus gave up his life on the cross, he was a new seed. Have you ever wondered, God, why did you have Jesus be born of a virgin? God was planting a new seed in the earth, not the normal seed of mankind. He's a new Adam, Paul teaches us. Jesus is a new start to mankind, a new seed. And when he died on the cross and all authority in heaven and earth is given to him and his mission begins on the earth, this new nation, this new people of which he is the king begins its work on the earth. A new seed was planted. Jesus is like a seed. The word of God is like a seed. The principle of seeds is meant to create connection and cooperation between you and God. There's passages of the Bible that talk about this. You know, Paul says, hey, Paul planted a seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. It also talks about the farmer going out, he sows his seed, and it sprouts up and it grows, though the farmer doesn't have any idea how that happened. Now, as science teaches us, we learn more and more that inside that little seed is a little, not a geocode, genome thing, chromosome, DNA. It's like a code on a computer. And once you hit enter, it just goes. All right, help me out. What's the word? I forgot. Genome. There's kind of a code within that seed. And when you put that seed in the ground, you can talk to it, you can yell at it, you can cuss at it, you can do whatever you want. You cannot make it grow. It just does it on its own. In fact, it does it when you don't want it to. You leave seeds laying around in the wrong spot, they just sprout. That's what they're wired to do. God has designed something awesome where we partner with him to do it. God, I'm doing my part. I'm putting the seed in the dirt. I'm going to cover it up. Maybe I'll fertilize it and water it, but I can't just sit there and go, grow, 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 grow. I mean, I've tried it. It doesn't work. That thing will not sprout any faster or slower. It does it automatically. That's where we get the word automatism. Things that God has set into place that are just, they're going to happen. Let me demonstrate. This is a big book. If I let go of this book, what's gonna happen? No matter how much I don't want it to, am I gonna stop it? I mean, I could grab it, but I could talk to it, I could yell at it, I could scream. I am not gonna stop this book from falling. Oh, did that, who cringed? Yeah, I'm gonna do it one more time. This is a big book. Didn't yell loud enough? No, don't fall, don't fall. All I have to do is let go. I don't make it fall. Gravity makes it fall. God made it fall. He set up something so that it would fall. No matter what I do, all I do is let go of it and break it. I was not gonna do that. There are other things in life. No matter how hard I try, I cannot breathe underwater. Have you tried it? It's dumb. I have dreams I can breathe underwater. Do you ever have those? Like you're suffocating, drowning, and then all of a sudden you, oh good, I can breathe underwater. And then I wake up. Anyone else? Am I the only weirdo here? Come on, I knew it. You are my people. Why? Because God set up something that doesn't bend. It is his way. Now, yes, he miraculously will intervene on those things. But God set up a system for you and I to operate in. Sowing seeds is one of them. When you sow a seed, it will accomplish what it was designed to do. And it's God illustrating to us what he wants us to be doing, and we're partnering with him. God, when I sow this seed in my kid's life, I'm partnering with you, trusting in your concepts, trusting in your principles, that this seed that I just planted in my child's life is going to grow something. Or in my friend's life, or in my relationship with my wife, or at my job, I'm gonna sow this seed because I believe in your principles that if I sow seeds that are of you, they're going to grow. And seeds grow whether you want them to or not, sometimes. You know, sometimes we sow seeds that aren't good and we don't want them to grow, and they do anyway, don't they? The sins of the fathers are visited upon the kids of the third and fourth generation, right, mom and dad? Sometimes we don't wanna sow things into our kids' lives that we just do. And it develops things as well. There's a place in Norway called Svalbard. Anybody heard of this? Isn't this cool? Okay. For those of you that don't know what this is an underground bunker, basically, waiting for the apocalypse, full of seeds. They have 1.3 million seed samples in there being stored at 0 degrees so they don't grow. in case something happens. They've got them from all over the world. They have room for like 4 million seed samples in there. They're preparing for the zombie apocalypse. If something happens to nature, they're hoping that preserving these seeds would give them the possibility of starting over if we had to. Pretty fascinating, huh? They do, by the way, they do have a hard time keeping the seeds from growing. Even when they keep it that cold, them seeds still, they're wired by God to grow. But you can preserve them for very long periods of time. What is it? What, all those seeds, here's what I think of. Here's what I think of with all those seeds, the potential. The potential. That's what I want to talk about. The last part of my message this morning is the potential of seeds. Why? What do I mean by potential? How is it that that itty-bitty seed that you can't even see the size I'm making with my fingers grows into a hundreds of foot tall tree? How much potential that itty-bitty tiny little seed had? Did you see a 100-foot tree in that seed? I didn't. I saw a little seed. Sometimes I plant things I don't even know what they are. Jesus said this, didn't he? Look at the mustard seed. You plant the mustard seed, it's the tiniest of seeds, and yet it grows into a mustard tree, which is, they can be like 30 feet high and 30 feet around. They're huge. Jesus used that illustration. There's so much potential. When you think about your life, I've shared transparently with you before, I hate regret. I hate that feeling and sensation of regret. It's this idea that there was potential somewhere, but it's gone now. There was the opportunity, something could have happened, and I missed it because of myself. Now I trust God with things. If I make mistakes, I still trust that God's gonna bring me right. And he's gonna use those things to instruct me so I don't despair about the things I regret. But what about potential? How many of you have heard of Ryan Leaf? Come on, guys, let's be honest. You have, okay? The reason that mostly guys holding up their hands is Ryan Leaf was a excellent football player. He's actually from Great Falls, Montana. And he was in the running for the Heisman Trophy. He was gonna be one of the top two picks in the NFL. Lots and lots and lots of potential. But for all the circumstances and some of his decisions, he's considered one of the biggest busts in NFL history because it didn't work out. Now, I don't know what Ryan Leaf is doing today. Perhaps he's gone on to have a very fruitful life. I hope so. But we look at our own lives or we look at the lives of others and we consider potential. Why do we look at our little kids when they're little? They're little babies just bouncing on your knee, right? And you go, look at all the possibilities. Hi, are you happy? Oh man, you're cute. So much potential. When we lose a little one, why is it so painful? All the potential. Oh, all the life, potential life lost. Potential is such an important component when it comes to seeds. I've shared this story with you before. I think my first year I was attempting to garden, I planted tomato plants. I wanted to grow tomatoes. So I planted 24 plants. You know how big a tomato seed is? Do you know how much space a tomato plant can take up? Failure to plan on my part. Failure to realize the potential of that little itty-bitty tomato seed. 24 tomato plants is a lot, just so you know, and you want to garden next year. That'd take up a lot of space. They have so much potential. When Janny and I were shopping for our home that we're in today, we've been there, what, 6 years now? Right about now, I think, about 6 years since we moved in there. You know how housing is a struggle, and it was before everything really jumped again in terms of prices, and this house was just a little bit beyond what we could afford or was in our budget. And, you know, we're going through the different websites and the real estate sites and stuff, and we're looking. And I run across this house, and I'm like, wow, this house is really affordable per square foot. It's a good-sized house, pretty big, plenty of space, and per square foot, it's a good price. Well, you know what the rest of the story is, right? It needs a lot of work. And so I show Janny pictures. She's like, nope. I don't know how long it was. I'm like, look at this. Yeah, I mean, yeah, the popcorn ceiling and the shag carpet, I know, but you know, I was starting to see potential in this house and not throwing Janie under the bus, but she wasn't quite with me yet, were you? Not at all. I don't even want to go look at that house, she said. Look at that. Look at that. You know what I'm talking about. If you ever shop for a house, you go touring the house and you're like, I'm not sure if I can visualize us living here. This is going to be a lot of work. The Harrises bought a house a few years ago. Lots of potential. Took a while to see it, maybe. Maybe not. You got to think past. You got to think beyond. You got to realize what's possible. The rest of the story is we did buy the house and remodel it. It's a great home. We love it. But we had to scrape the popcorn ceilings and get rid of the shag carpet and all the things, right? Replace lots of things. There was lots of potential there, but it took a while to see it. What about you? Do you have potential? Do you believe that you have any potential? I don't care how old you are. It doesn't matter. There's always next. There's always potential. There's always possibility. So how do we begin to realize potential? I want to say this. You don't realize potential by focusing on the end result, the fruit. Yes, we need to set goals. But if I just go out into my yard and sit in my lawn chair by my garden and hope that fruit starts showing up, how's that going to go for me? In fact, what's probably going to grow instead? Weeds. I don't want to do the work of sowing. I just want to enjoy the benefit of the fruit, which is why I go to the supermarket now. I don't want to do the hard work of sowing the seed. If you want to realize potential for tomorrow, you've got to start to sow the seeds today. You can't sit there and stare at the fruit and do nothing and hope that it happens. When your kid is born and you say, I want to raise a good kid, I want my children to mature well and turn out well and then do nothing about it, what's going to happen? Not good things. We've got to begin by sowing the seeds and working on that. In fact, when I was gardening, I'm now retired. I think you picked that up by now. I honestly, it was one of the discouraging things to me is when we got to the fruit time, I didn't know what to do with everything I had. There was so much of it. I was just so excited about the process. Gardeners are weird like that. It's just fun to sow the things and watch the things grow. I'll give it all away. I don't even have to eat it. I'm just happy it grew. We got to be like that. We got to focus on the sowing of the seeds and the nurturing. The fruit will be a natural result of the effort. You're partnering with God. You're sowing the seeds. You're watering the soil. You're putting the fertilizer in, and God's making it grow. Isn't it amazing sometimes? My kids are starting to move into adulthood. Sometimes I'm like, how did you turn out okay? Thank you, God, that you were part of the growth, that it wasn't totally up to me. I sowed the seeds, I did the work, but God gave the growth. He had the grace and the mercy, and I'm like, thank you, Lord. So thankful. You are called to partner with God in the seeds that you sow. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows it to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. God will not be mocked. In other words, you're not going to defy the system. You're not going to fool God. You can't sow in greed or lust or jealousy or envy and expect to reap something good. You can't sow in selfishness and hatred, vitriol, and expect to reap something good. Kind of makes me think of the division in our country today. What are we sowing? We'll reap it. The words that come out of our mouths, the actions that we choose to take, we will reap it. We should be wise about what we sow. It's challenging because we also have weeds, don't we? Seems like no matter how hard I work, there's still going to be weeds. Nobody gets it perfect. We sow the good seed. We do the hard work. There's still going to be weeds. But if we don't do anything at all, going to be a lot more weeds. You consider what we're sowing. What would it look like if I started sowing God's seed in maybe my career? It's just fun to watch the process of growing up, and you know, this idea that when I'm like, you know, I'm like about 19, 20 years old, I'm like, man, I'm gonna be a millionaire by the time I'm 25, and I'm gonna be able to retire, and it's gonna be good. How are you gonna do that? I don't know. I've been there. It's just gonna happen, right? Just gonna sit here and hope it happens? What do you do? If you're a rancher or a farmer, you gotta start sowing the seed. You gotta start doing the work. You gotta start creating and then watch what happens. If I started sowing seeds of, you know, am I gonna be able to be lazy, which is not a godly principle? Am I gonna be able to cheat, which is not a godly principle, and succeed financially? You guys, even people that are not of God reap the benefits of God's system. Generosity blesses the wicked and the righteous. When you operate in God's principles, even if you don't know who God is, it's how God works. It's so important that we realize we will reap what we sow. So the question then is, what are you sowing? What about friendships? Say, I don't have good friendships. My relationships are broken. I don't have any friends. What seeds are you sowing to develop friendships? Can't hide out in your mom's basement the rest of your life and make friends. That's not how it works. You got to start to sow seeds. You got to start to put yourself out there. You got to start to take risk. You got to foster those things. They don't just happen automatically. I know there's this sort of, you know, when it comes to romantic relationships that, you know, this phrase falling in love is starting to drive me crazy. Like it's just some sort of thing that just, it's why divorce is such a terrible thing in our country. Is a misunderstanding of how this works. You gotta sow seeds. It takes work, it takes time, it takes effort. When we sow into our relationships, it's not just a feeling that we hope lasts forever, that just happens to us. It's something we work on and work towards. James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. But each person is tempted when he's lured and enticed into his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Okay, we're seeing the opposite kind of thought here, right? When we sow godly seeds into parts of our lives and good things start to develop and good fruit comes of it, the same is also true. We have an enemy who wants to tempt and deceive and sow discord and sow weeds so that we're choked out. And what happens is, when we start to sow in sin, it starts simple. It's really small, isn't it? If you're an addict or you ever struggled with addiction, you know that you didn't wake up one day that way. It just started one decision at a time, one seed at a time, one thing at a time, and time goes on, and you find yourself there. If you got trapped in a marital affair, that didn't just happen. It's little seeds that give birth to bigger things that eventually lead to sin. So if we pay attention to it when it's a seed, it's a lot easier to pluck out of there. You have knapweeds on your property? Holy moly, you practically need a tractor to pull those things out. But if you get some plant when it's little, out it comes, no problem, painless. Wait till it's a big old weed, the job's tougher. God cares about the seeds that we sow. So think about this. Think about your relationships. Think about your marriage. Things going tough. Struggling, battling, try sowing some different seed. Sow some new seed. Your career, your business, your ministry, maybe try sowing some new seeds, different seeds. It's not easy. No farmer will tell you it's an easy job. But I look at some of you guys. I know some of your stories. I could go around the room and talk about it. You know, I think of Jason and his testimony. Jason chose to sow some different seeds, and he's blessed today because of it. I think of Hans and Bethany. I used to be scared of Hans. I was afraid he was gonna beat me up some Sunday after church. I love Hans. I'm so glad to have that guy as a part of our group. What happened? Hans got to a point where he started sowing a different seed in his life. Is that right, Hans? Yeah, how many of you could we go around the room? Because I know I don't know everybody. But think about the seeds you're sowing, and if what you're doing isn't working, maybe sow some different seeds. And they might not pop up overnight. Might not happen instantly. Sometimes it's quick. Sometimes it's a lifetime. I'm going to pray for you this morning. When I'm done praying, if you'd like to receive more prayer, there's going to be a prayer team right up over here to my left. They would love to pray for you this morning. Don't take for granted the opportunity to connect with someone else and pray for the things that you're really asking God for. Lord, I thank you for my friends and family here this morning. I thank you for those who have been here since the beginning and those that are just visiting today. Lord, you're building a family and a community that extends way beyond these four walls. It extends all around the world. And God, I'm thankful this morning that you didn't just tell us to sit here quietly and wait. You caused us to make disciples, to take action, to be on a mission, to be together. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen my brothers and sisters today, that you would give them courage to sow seeds. God, not in obnoxious ways, but in loving, subtle ways to be sowing seeds in their own lives as well in the lives of those around them. Lord, I pray for all the parents in the room. There ain't no pain like kid pain. Lord, I pray that you would help us all as parents sow good seed, or even if the kids are out of the house, help us be a good influence. Lord, I pray for the kids making decisions about their future, those are entering into adulthood, those that are just married. There's so many opportunities for seeds to be sown. Lord, I pray that you would sow seeds of peace and righteousness in their lives. God, that you'd make us aware of what we're sowing. Even as we go from here today, that maybe we would take some time and just kind of evaluate, when I talk like that, or when I think like that, or when I face that situation, what kind of seeds am I sowing? Because God won't be mocked, I will reap it. Especially if I let it get too big. Lord, thank you that you make us a part of this amazing creation and all of these things you've put in place. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. That is the conclusion of our service this morning. Thanks for joining us. If you want to purchase a seeds book on your way out, they're $10. Get your leader apps in by next week. We'll see you next week.